Like to extend my happiest Father's Day greetings to those who are fathers, and a happy Sunday to everybody else. So it is so good to get to be here this Sunday. Today's lesson is entitled A Father Like Noah. If we were to go through the Bible, we could find countless examples of fathers, but today we're going to look at Noah, because Noah did something for his family that saved them outside of the rest of the world. All we have to do is look over to Hebrews chapter 11, and we see what I like to call the hall of the Hall of Fame of Faith. We see Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. The Hebrew writer was writing about the faith of those who were in the Old Testament. And what we're going to be looking at today is we're going to talk about Noah. Why was his faith so great that it would be included amongst these different names? So, what we're going to talk about today is that Noah had strengths. Any father that we have here this morning has strengths. Noah also had weaknesses. Same. All fathers here have weaknesses. And Noah was an example. And we, if we're Christians, should strive to be the best example that we can possibly be. So our first point, we look at Noah's strengths. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation, and Noah walked with God." Notice it doesn't say that he was sinless. Amongst his generation, he was blameless. We can all understand the only blameless and perfect person that lived in this world was Christ. Yet we find here that Noah was righteous, he was blameless, and that he walked with God. How great is that to look at and say, Noah walked with God. What a fantastic example he was, and it tells us what type of person that he was. We look to Luke chapter 17 and verse 27, and with hindsight, we're able to see what happened with the account of Noah. In Luke 17 and verse 27, "They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all." Noah was given objectives that he was supposed to follow, and he was supposed to follow them as God had commanded him to do, and he did. We look back in Genesis chapter 8, and we are able to see all of the things that he did to the degree that God told him to do. He was mocked, and he was ridiculed, yet he continued to be obedient to God the Father. That is definitely a strength. If we're going to utilize the strength that he had, we have to do what he did. He had a focus on being obedient to God. Fathers, as well as Christians, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul wrote, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." We can't give up. Times can be very difficult. If we were to list all of the difficulties that we had, we as fathers have, that list would be very long, and there are different things that we endure. But we all should be seeking the same goal. And that goal is a home with our Heavenly Father in heaven. We cannot give up. It would have been very easy for Noah to just shake his head and say, "This is too much. I don't understand why I'm having to do this. God, I'm surrounded by evilness. They're mocking me for what you are saying. Rain is going to fall from the sky?" They had no rain before the floods came. It was a firmament. Everything grew. So to say that water was going to fall from the sky was baffling. He had to have sounded crazy. But he continued in his obedience. To the world, we might seem crazy. We might seem foolish. But they can think what they want to think. I want to be pleasing to God. And that should be our desire. Let's not grow weary in doing as we should. But let us continue to fight the good fight that we have been called to press toward. In Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16, "For the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity." Notice earlier I had said Noah was blameless. Did Noah sin? Absolutely. We'll be getting to that and his weaknesses. But when we look at what Noah did, is he would get back up. We as Christians have that same obligation. Are we going to sin? Yes. We're going to fall to temptation. That's definitely not saying that temptation is okay to fall to. But when we succumb to temptation and fall into sin, repent and get back up. Continue to fight forward. We as fathers have an example that we are giving to our children. And we as Christians have an example that we are giving to those who aren't Christians as well as to those who are around us. When we fall, we've got to get back up. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, we find a theme that continues through Paul's writings as well as in James's writings. What we see is, "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." It's easy to succumb to temptation. It's easy to want to do what comes, what would be fun to do. Yet we have to look to what is ahead for us. We need to look ahead to eternity and understand that whatever sin that we are struggling with today isn't going to compare to the beauty of heaven that lies ahead. We have to stand strong. We have to stand strong. It can be tiring to fight temptation and to fight temptation and to fight temptation. But I believe it's the Alcoholics Anonymous group that say, make it one day at a time. We have to stand strong. We have to not grow weary. We have to seek to desire to do what is good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, Paul wrote difficult things to those Corinthians to get them out of the perversities of the society that surrounded them. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." If Noah had decided that he wanted to build an ark for his own pleasure, that would have been in vain. But the fact that God called him to do it is what separated that effort. We as Christians have responsibilities that we need to be partaking in, and our labor is not in vain. Fathers, do as God would have you to do. Be the example that God would have you to be. And you know, sometimes children may be grown. And with hindsight, we can look back and see the mistakes that we made, the triumphs that we made, maybe the heartache of what a child is dealing with. I would encourage you today, even if you haven't talked to your child in years, try to contact them. If you're here and you haven't talked to a parent in multiple years, reach out to them if you can. But children who are still living at home, it would be in your best interest to be obedient to your parents. But parents with children in the home, strive to do the important work that God has given us to do. To raise our children in the right way. that when we're doing as God would have us to do, that labor is not in vain as we are raising up the next generation of Christians. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer penned, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Noah's amazing faith allowed him to believe that something he had never seen, something that he had never heard of, was worth an abundance of effort, was worth ridicule, was worth the mocking. But he believed. We must do the same thing. None of us have seen heaven. We will. But we need to continue to fight toward God, not at God, fight towards, in the direction, going forward, moving forward, drawing near to God. As James wrote in James chapter 4, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." God desires us to be obedient to Him, to have faith in His promises. But for there to be strengths, there also has to be weaknesses. And Noah had some weaknesses. We'll look to Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. Noah and his family had left the ark, had began to plow the land. And Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine, and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. Noah had a weakness. Noah allowed his weakness to end up hurting his sons, one of which was cursed because of what had happened. The other two had to have been ashamed of what Noah had done. You know, we look at the weakness that Noah exhibited, and we as fathers can show that weakness as well. It doesn't have to be due to alcohol. It can be the movies that we watch, the things that we say. Because if you want something to get repeated, say it around your kid. I was a young lad, maybe 5 years old, and had an uncle, Orphus. Orphus has passed on to his reward. That was his name, Orphus. And I remember my father on a few occasions talking about how Uncle Orphus would smack when he ate his food. You know, sometimes you chew with your mouth open and that grosses people out. Well, Uncle Orphus could smack louder than anyone I'd ever been around. I don't know how he did it. But I remember at a family reunion at my Aunt Ortiz's house was the first time that I can remember meeting Uncle Orphus. And my dad walks me over to him and said, "Now, JJ, this is your Uncle Orphus." I went, "Is he the one that eats like this?" My dad got his hand over my mouth as quick as he could. And lo and behold, when dinner came around, guess who I sat across from? Uncle Orphus. And my dad said, I just looked up in amazement as Uncle Orphus gnawed on that food. And he said, I sat there trying to do what he was doing, not as an act of mockery, but as a five-year-old. And my dad, again, I think, had to cover my face with his bare claw of a hand. Now, if my father hadn't told me about the eating habits of my Uncle Orphus, I wouldn't have known. But how many times have we heard of parents who will talk a certain way and then all of a sudden hear their little bundle of joy blurt out a profanity? Say, where did they hear that? It's like, well, when you stubbed your toe the other day, they could have heard it. You know, as parents and as Christians, we have a responsibility to not watch movies like that, to not listen to music with profanity. because one, we don't want our children to repeat it. Two, we don't want Christians and non-Christians to think that's the type of thing we enjoy. But number three, we don't want that weakness to disappoint God. It takes effort for us to continue to be pure in a world that is losing purity. So many filthy things in different avenues are coming to the forefront. Noah succumbed to alcohol, and it caused problems for generations after that. 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. If you sin, repent. If you've hurt your child, if you've hurt a fellow Christian, if you've hurt a parent, apologize. Don't let pride rift a relationship that could be sewn back together. Even if you think it's against all odds, do what is right before it's too late to mend a bridge. Because when we confess our sins to God, they're taken away. Thrown as far as the east is from the west, down to the depths of the unreachable sea. When we fall into weakness, we need to repent. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. It's unfortunate our society for so long has said men shouldn't cry. It's a sign of weakness. Men shouldn't apologize. That is a sign of weakness. Don't let society determine what is manly. Let the Bible discern what is manly. And we see what God says here. We'll obtain mercy if we confess. We will obtain mercy. I would rather obtain mercy and be in a right standing with God than to look cool to the society that's around me. And it all comes back to this. Who do you serve? When we're dealt with weaknesses, temptations that we endure, it's going to come down to choosing God or not God. In Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Fathers, choose this day who you're going to serve. Let it be God, and let your family see it. Christians, serve God and only God. Don't let there be a separation. Choose to serve God and follow God. When dealt with a decision and say, I don't know what direction I should go, I always say, is this decision going to draw me nearer to God or take me away from God? Because no amount of money is worth losing your soul over. Choose to serve God. So what about Noah's example? We look to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. We look to the example of Noah as a father, to his three sons and three daughters-in-law. In their sight, he did as God commanded him to do. And so much later, to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, he was considered a man who had great faith. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20, after the flood had subsided, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And in the following verse, we see that that offering was a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Let's let our lives be that sweet-smelling aroma to God. Let's not just be Christians at the church building, or even if we go further than that, let's not just be Christians in public. Let's allow our Christianity to permeate behind closed doors so that our children, who soak everything up like sponges, can see how to live and how to live the right way. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. When we allow the sin that is around us to die, we too are going to condemn the world. And people say, you shouldn't judge. Oh, we can judge with righteous judgment. The Bible clearly says that. If we're going to be an heir of righteousness, we have to live that life. Fathers, let's look to Noah as an example. And you may say this morning, but JJ, my kids are grown. I did some things the right way. I did some things the wrong way. Don't just throw up your hands and give up. You're still a mama. You're still a daddy. If you can reach out to your child, reach out to them. And if you're a child here this morning and realize I sure gave a lot of grief to my parents, call them. Tell them you love them. Apologize if you need to. But if we're going to follow the example that Noah gave to us, we've got to get the worldliness out and be obedient to God. So some thoughts about Noah as a man. Noah had strengths, as we all do. Noah also had weaknesses, but it's what he did with his strengths and what we see in the weaknesses that can allow us to live a better life. We see his strengths and his obedience to God, yet we see in his mistakes the damage that it did to his family. That's the example that we see, that in the end, he was still considered a hero of faith. Let's strive to live that example as well, being strong, but trying to thwart out our weaknesses. This morning, if you need prayers, say, I haven't been the father, the son, the mother, the daughter, the Christian that I should be. Come forward, let us pray for you, let us pray with you. If you need to go home and make some phone calls, I would encourage you to do so. But the most important decision, if you're a non-Christian this morning, to make would be to become a Christian. God has done His part. God sent His Son, Jesus shed His blood, and the Spirit revealed the Word. Now it's up to us. If you've heard that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that died, was raised from the dead, and He died for you, if you believe that, if you're ready to repent of your sins, leaving a life of sinfulness behind, confessing Jesus Christ, and then being baptized into the watery grave of baptism, not as an outward show of an inward faith, but as an example, as Romans 6, 3 and 4 state, of that resurrection, that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And when we enter that water, we are a dead person, dead to our sins, immersed into the water to come out to walk in a newness of life, having our sins washed away. It's not a prayer. It's not a happy thought. It is at baptism that our sins are washed away. But we have to do all of those things. If you're not a Christian, let us study with you on those so we can help you make the most important decision there is to make, and then we can all strive to remain faithful. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.